you've ever driven through Sherburn, Massachusetts, at the intersection of Route 16 and Route 27, you may have seen a memorial off to the side of the road. There's a statue there, some red brick walls, some chairs are set up, nice pathway. But what exactly is it? Today, we're visiting at the Peace Abbey, the Pacifist Memorial. It's a public place for peace under the care of the Peace Abbey Foundation, established in 1994. As I said, it's a nice little park, trees all around it, red brick walls capped by a stone top, and in the center of it is a 9 foot tall statue of Gandhi, 1869 to 1948, quote, "My life is my message," end quote. It's an area that's dedicated to the ideals of pacifism, conscientious objection, and nonviolence. Multiple plaques with quotes from Gandhi all around his statue. People come here and visit and pay homage to him and sit and think. On the walls, on the brick walls, there are numerous bronze plaques with the names of various people throughout the last couple of centuries that embrace the same ideals. Conscientious objection, pacifism, nonviolence. You'll recognize some of the names, some of them you won't. I see one here for Jesus of Nazareth. I see one here for, Anne Frank, Mother Teresa, Muhammad Ali, Einstein, and then there are plenty of names that somebody like me has never heard of before. They have prayers for peace from various world religions on plaques all about. It's a super, super pleasant park. And as we walk a little bit further down, we come into an area that is dedicated to basically animals, with a couple of messages reminding us that wars kill animals too, and that there's the sacred cow, and straight ahead of us is a statue of a large cow. I do remember this story going back years ago, and it's this cow, this statue here indicates that it is the final resting place of Emily the cow. Emily the cow was on its way to a slaughterhouse and escaped from the trailer and wound up on the lam for a while. The people here at the Peace Abbey at the time took her in, and she lived out the rest of her life here in, I believe, in Sherburn on a farm. And as we walk through this very, very nice park, there's plenty of other plaques and memorials indicating, a peaceful lifestyle, advocating for vegetarian or veganism. Oh, and then off the side here, we have a memorial to conscientious objectors who walk the earth spreading the tradition of nonviolence to future generations. And on this hill are the cremated remains of many, many of them. It's a busy intersection, but a quiet, peaceful little park. I think in an odd twist, right next door, literally on the other side of a stone wall, is a very, very old cemetery, I would say dating back to possibly this Revolutionary War. And as part of that is the town of Sherburn's memorial to war veterans and citizens of this town who perished in various wars leading back to before the Civil War, before the Revolutionary War. Actually, King Philip's War is mentioned on this. So why are we visiting a statue of Gandhi? Well, I think we're going to drive further up the road, visit another statue over in Hopedale, Massachusetts.
Hello and welcome. I am your host, Doug Farquharson. Here at New England on a Pedestal podcast, we look at the history of New England, its stories, its people, and its places through the lens of its various statues, sculptures, monuments, and memorials. You know the ones we pass by all the time and don't really notice or remember why they're there in the first place. Or the odd ones that make you wonder what possible reason it's even there. If you listen to us here, please subscribe to us through your favorite podcast platform and consider leaving a review for us. Please help spread the word by telling family and friends about our podcast. It will help us reach more listeners and expand our audience. Thank you. We have some exciting news that I'll share with you at the end of this episode, too.
Today we find ourselves in Hopedale, Massachusetts, right along Hopedale Street and Peace Street. Nearby is post office, the police station, several churches. And in the corner here, we're standing in a park with a statue with a view that was once dominated by the Drapier Manufacturing Company's mills. It was a huge, huge, multi-story, multi-building mill complex. Recent years, it fell into abandon and was recently completely demolished, brick by brick, and carted away to parts unknown. It's unfortunate because it would have made a wonderful, renovated, probably mixed-use facility, but after years of misuse and abandonment, it just wasn't structurally sound enough to repair. So what we now look at is a large open expanse that no doubt one day will be remade into something else. So we're along part of what's known as the Blackstone River Valley. That's known as part of the Industrial Revolution, and it was established in, I believe, 1986 as the Blackstone River Valley National Heritage Corridor. And it recognizes this region's special place in American history. That parts of this may be in other episodes. For instance, on a plaque here, they talk about Grafton Common, and In the Works is an episode based right there at the Grafton Common. We'll see how that comes out later. Why are we here in Hopedale? Well, we're standing at the Aidan Belew Park. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Hopedale was originally founded as a utopian community. I will read from the sign right here at the park. And I quote, "Hopedale began as a utopian community founded in 1842 by the Reverend Aidan Belew, born in 1803 and died in 1890. And his followers. Belew's spiritual and civic beliefs included the sharing of ownership, responsibility, and success, and were based in part on the writings of French utopianist Charles Fourier. Belew separated working and residential areas into different phalanxes and determined which land would be used for orchards, crops, livestock, residences. Among dozens of utopian communities established during the era, Hopedale is the most beautiful and best preserved. Belew's vision for the town can still be seen in its careful organization with a central town common and placement of other institutions, churches, schools, post office, library, all along Hopedale Street. Hopedale continued as a company town when the utopian experiment began to falter in 1855. The Drapier brothers, Ebenezer and George, took control of the town and built the Drapier Company, a successful textile equipment manufacturer. They and their heirs attempted to continue to varying degrees some of the ideals of the commune as they planned and controlled the community. Company housing was extremely well built, large, and often offered garden and lawn space. Roads and yards were well maintained, and the company sponsored social, educational, and civic institutions. The Drapier Corporation sold its factory in the 1960s, ending the era of corporate domination in Hopedale. The company lives on through the Hopedale Foundation, which continues to be used as a source of funding for civic endeavors, and serves as a lasting reminder of the Drapier's paternalistic role in the town. End quote. And on the bottom of the sign, they have a very old picture of the Drapier Manufacturing Building, which I was just describing to you. They show the Jones Homestead, which is part of the Utopian community where they first started having some meetings. And it has, of course, a picture of Minister Aidan Bailieu. As we walk into the park, there are several trees, a few very nice bushes. It's well maintained, and there's a gravel pathway that leads towards the statue. But first, probably a good 20 feet away from the statue, we come from a large granite square that's just in the ground with something protruding out of it. And anybody familiar with early, I would say, colonial through the 1800s front doorsteps would recognize this as a boot scrape, which is exactly what it sounds like. Old-fashioned people would come to your house, and of course the streets at the time were not paved, so you would scrape your boot before entering the house so that you would not bring the mud in. So what is this large granite block with a boot scrape? Well, there's a plaque right here, and it shows an engraving of the house we just talked about, and it's the front doorstep of the old house. Originally located a little over 400 feet from this spot, it was built by John Jones in around 1700, enlarged in 1735, but raised in 1874. In it was organized in 1741, the Second Church of Minden, first meeting of the Hopedale community, held in the West Room, March 24, 1842. And then we continue down this gravel path to a couple of very nice granite benches, semi-curved, where you can sit. And this is where we come to what we're looking for today, the statue of Aidan Bailieu. He stands atop a granite pedestal, which is a good 6 to 7 feet tall. The statue itself is another, I would guess 6 feet above that. Very distinguished looking gentleman, thinning hair, close cropped beard. He's wearing a vest, bow tie, long overcoat, well, to his knees. Looks like a well-dressed gentleman. His left hand clutches what I would presume to be a Bible sitting atop a small pedestal, and his right hand is aimed out in a welcoming gesture to whomever he is speaking to. On the front of it, it says, Aidan Bailieu, preacher, author, philanthropist, apostle of Christian socialism, and founder of the Hopedale community, 1803 to 1890. Blessed are the peacemakers, not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Each side of this pedestal is engraved with a different quote or a different description of the minister. The backside I can barely read. Weather has taken its toll on it. In fact, I can't read it at all. Nor can I read this one, so we'll go with that. Standing right next to it is a short obelisk, which has a couple of bronze plaques on it, and those I can definitely read. The first one says exactly what I read off the front of the statue. The second side says, a man of rational Christian faith, sterling qualities of mind, and rare excellence of character, whose life was devoted to the works of righteousness, brotherhood, and peace, to the well-being of his kind and the upbuilding of the kingdom of God on earth. The backside says, this monument is erected and these grounds are set apart as a memorial to Aidan Bailu, a tribute of affection, gratitude, and honor from many friends. On this spot he spent the greater portion of his life, where he wrought his chief work and entered into rest. Dedicated and presented to the people of Hopedale, October 27th, 1900. And the final side says, extract from the preface to the History of Hopedale Community. If Providence has entrusted me with any distinctive mission in the world, it is to aid in showing my fellow men the way into that Christ-like order of life which illustrates the great ideas of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. It only took me a minute to walk around that obelisk and its bronze plaques to realize that at some point they were added here because they are an exact duplicate of what is engraved onto the pedestal holding the statue, which weather has since diminished greatly and is very hard to read. This is a beautiful spot, well worth the trip, and we will delve into a little bit more of his life and the establishment of the town of Hopedale and explain a little bit why we visited the Gandhi statue earlier in this episode.
As we could see from information gathered during our visit to the park and statue, Aidan Bailu was a man who held true to his beliefs and tried very hard to live by them and to create a utopian society. He was a prolific writer and published many books that were translated to many languages worldwide. It is said that his writings inspired and influenced many famous historical figures, including Tolstoy, Gandhi, and Martin Luther King Jr., among others. It is believed that his books had a direct influence on Gandhi's early development of nonviolent pacifism and protest, and that would obviously be what led us to the Peace Abbey Park in Sherborne. It's pretty interesting that a man from a small town in Massachusetts could have such a far-reaching impact in the world. Taken directly from the Town of Hopedale's webpage, we get the following information. Quote, Hopedale is on the southeastern edge of Worcester County and occupies the valley of the Upper Mill River. Benjamin Albee set up a grist mill on the Mill River to grind settlers' corn in 1669 in the first recorded settlement. Until the mid-19th century, the town followed the pattern of many communities with a combination of agriculture and small industry. But in 1842, Aidan Bailu and his followers, idealists who wanted to combine biblical individualism with social responsibility and religious liberalism, purchased 600 acres in what is now downtown Hopedale to establish Fraternal Community Number 1. 30 houses, a chapel, and workshops were built on an architectural plan for the 170 people who joined in the social experiment, which combined farming with manufacturing and took strong social stands on temperance, women's rights, and abolition. Unfortunately, disagreements over how to administer the community ended in bankruptcy by 1856, and George and Ebenezer Draper, followers of Bailu, took over the property. The brothers made doors, window sashes, and blinds, and ran a printing office. But they discovered early on that their most profitable business was making textile machinery. By 1880, there were 400 patents held in Hopedale for textile machinery. 800 Draper employees, and $1 million in sales. By 1892, with the advent of the Northrop loom, Draper became the largest producer of textile machinery in the country. There were 78,000 Northrop looms sold in 1903 because they used less power and could be operated by untrained hands, which resulted in the textile industry abandoning New England and moving south. By World War I, the majority of the 400,000 looms in the United States had been made by Draper, and the company was selling them to China, Russia, and Mexico. End quote. As we discussed in the field portion of this episode, the Drapers believed that by treating their workers well, their business would prosper. They built quality housing and charged low rents. They provided educational and recreational facilities and provided time for their employees to take advantage of them. They built significant infrastructure for the town and provided upkeep and maintenance. According to the town's webpage, quote, "Only one strike in 1913 was ever recorded in Hopedale through the most turbulent eras of American labor unrest," end quote. We saw what some of that unrest did to other areas when we looked at the shoemakers of nearby Marlborough in an earlier episode. Let's take a quick look back to our earlier visit to Sherbin. As we mentioned in our first In the Field segment today, Emily the cow had escaped from a slaughterhouse in nearby Hawkington, Mass. And remained on the run for 40 days. She was seen roaming with a local herd of deer and foraging for food on several nearby farms and agricultural areas. Once she was eventually recaptured, a local family was able to purchase her from the slaughterhouse for a reported price of $1. That was probably due to all the attention brought to her escapade by the local press. After receiving veterinary care, she was brought to the Peace Abbey on Christmas Eve and lived out the remainder of her years there, inspiring animal rights issues and vegetarianism. While researching and writing this episode, I received some great info on a nearby statue. I originally thought I would include it here. However, due to the length of this episode already, I think it's best if we make that the subject of the next episode of New England on a Pedestal. Hey, we would love to hear from you. Let us know what you think. What are we doing right? What can we do better? Tell us about a favorite or unique or odd statue that you know. If you have additional information or maybe a correction about something that we've already shared, please send it our way and perhaps we will add an addendum to a later episode. We can be reached via email at newenglandonapedestal@farkey.com. That's New England on a Pedestal, all one word, at farkie.com. Go to Facebook and like the New England on a Pedestal page. Follow us on Instagram. We post photos and links on those social media platforms. It takes a lot of effort to produce this podcast, so I want to thank Jason, Sam, Jake, and Becca for their talent, skill, and help. So, what is this exciting news we mentioned back at the beginning of this episode? Well, I was recently interviewed by Sue O'Connell of NECN and NBC 10 Boston for a segment entitled Listen to This, where she interviews hosts of various New England-based podcasts. It was a fun and exciting process, and I really appreciated the exposure. It aired in early October and has been posted online. Search NECN, Listen to This with Sue O'Connell, and New England on a Pedestal to find it. I hope that you enjoy it as much as I did. Until next time, be safe, be well, and keep discovering. Thanks for joining us. Thank you.